Yeah, lots to cover on the programme. We have a cracking competition coming up later on, by the way. A brilliant competition. Chance for you to be a winner big time here on U105. I also want to talk now about a very moving topic and something that does get covered from time to time, but not nearly enough, because a blind eye is often turned to controlling partners. People who in a relationship who feel and who actually demand to have the upper hand. They feel they have the upper hand. They demand the upper hand. And new research shows over half of young people coming into relationships are experiencing controlling behaviour in their relationships. It's so important that they break that as quickly as they possibly can. I want to speak to Lisa King from the domestic violence charity Refuge, and we'll also speak to a young victim as well called Bethany. Lisa and Bethany, good morning. Yeah, Lisa, you first of all, just explain to us how difficult it is for some people, whether they're new to a relationship or even a long-standing relationship, when there's controlling behaviour.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of young people do not at first understand or recognise controlling behaviours and will not understand how one person is preventing them from making a choice that they might want to make. It often happens very slowly and gradually over a period of time. But eventually, you know, a young person who is experiencing control will probably be prevented from seeing friends and family members. They might be prevented from going out and socializing or going to work, or told to change the way they look, what they do, who they see. All of those kind of often very gradual situations that then increase in frequency over time and become a really big issue.
Why are people controllers? Why do people want to dominate someone else? Is it jealousy?
Yeah, often very jealous and possessive behaviours are a reason. And it's because one person really believes that they have the right and that they are entitled to do so. And they will do that in lots of different ways. You know, we're all familiar with broken bones and black eyes. And that is the more kind of obvious signs of domestic violence. But it's these other more insidious kind of behind closed doors experiences that lots of young people are experiencing, girls particularly, and don't really realise it all the time and don't realise that there is help and support available to them.
Is it usually a male controlling a female, or sometimes do females control males? I'm sure in a same-sex relationship it will happen regardless of gender. So what... Are there many examples in a heterosexual relationship of the female controlling the male?
Domestic violence is primarily experienced by women and perpetrated by men. But there are some men, of course, who do experience domestic violence. And no one, male or female, should ever be prevented from making, you know, a decision that they want to, or being controlled in their decisions in any way, shape or form. And the new research that Refuge and Avon have undertaken recently, which we've called the Define the Line study, has identified that a shocking over 50% of young people do experience these controlling behaviours. That's one in every two young person. Those figures are huge. It shows there is a massive issue that is not being spoken about. It's great to be on the radio today to raise awareness of this issue. And it will start begin the start of a really important campaign that both organisations are going to take forward into the future, because we must improve people's understanding of this hideous issue.
But are you really serious, Lisa? Every other young couple we see in a nightclub, one person in that couple is being controlled by another person.
That's right. That's what our statistics show.
But surely it couldn't be like that. It couldn't be like that.
Of course. And this is an important moment in the run-up to International Women's Day, when there's going to be a lot of focus this week on issues affecting young women. We're starting the week early by identifying this as a huge issue, and it is not acceptable. And Avon and Refuge are going to be undertaking some really important work into the future to create change, because that is what is most needed.
So what's your advice to a young person who feels controlled, and also to someone who's maybe middle-aged and has lived with it for years? What can they do? It's bound to be easier for the younger person.
To be honest, it's difficult for anybody and everybody who is experiencing domestic violence.
Yeah, but it's bound to be easier for the younger person to walk away from it.
Not necessarily. I mean, everybody has kind of complex relationships. There are lots of different reasons why you might want to stay with someone. And I would say the same thing to no matter who is having the experience, old, young, no matter what their life stage. Please know that you are not alone. please know that Refuge is there to support you, and reach out and get help. Our information can be found at refuge.org.uk. That's really important. We're lifting the lid on a big issue today. We're going to positively create change with Avon, but right now there is support available to young people, old people, whomever. Please reach out and get it.
You keep referring to Avon. Is it the cosmetics company that's supporting you? Is that what you mean by Avon?
Yeah, that's right. Avon, the company for women, the cosmetics brand, is undertaking a great important piece of work today with Refuge and the research, but also they're doing masses around International Women's Day, and as part of that have made a fabulous donation of 2 million globally to support initiatives that empower women. And particularly in the UK, Refuge is the lucky beneficiary of £250,000 that will go to underpinning our frontline services. So they're doing an awful lot of work in this vital field to improve the improve life for women.
Okay, good on them. Bethany is with you. Bethany, good morning.
Good morning.
How difficult was it for you, Bethany? What would you like to tell me about the experience that you went through?
I think the most difficult part was leaving, trying to become disconnected from someone I'd once loved, and trying to... It's weird, you're almost in denial when it's happening. It's not until afterwards that you sometimes realise it was actually abuse. And I think the difficult part is afterwards going over what's happened and being like, well, that wasn't okay and that wasn't okay. But I had a lot of support from my family and my friends. I had a good support network. But I would definitely recommend reaching out to someone like Refuge if you're in a similar position, because I didn't go to Refuge and it's happening to me, and it wasn't easy. And I really wish I'd known about them at the time, because they've been very helpful to me since they have found out about my situation.
How did he control you?
Is it emotionally manipulative at first? He would try to sabotage my efforts to apply to university because he didn't want me to leave him. It was often threats of suicide. I'm nothing without you. If you went, then I'd have to kill myself. So I almost felt responsible for his life. And he was very jealous of any male relationships, even ones that were related to me. He didn't like me hanging around with my uncle very much. And I think my relationship with my mother wasn't as great either, because I just sort of pushed everybody out who wasn't him, because that was exactly what he wanted, really.
It's amazing that they can even be jealous of your relatives. And if you had a mate at work, or someone you went for a drink with after work, or had a coffee with at lunchtime, he simply couldn't accept that.
That wouldn't have been okay. I went for a drink with someone when I went on a work experience placement after the day had finished, and he really wasn't happy about that. There was threats of suicide being thrown around then as well.
So someone like the man who controlled you, was he mentally ill in some way?
I've got no idea. I'll never know. I guess so, probably.
Because if he wasn't ill, he was evil. If I had a relative who was going through that, you'd feel so angry. You would want to intervene. You'd literally want to grab the controller by the lapels and ask him what the heck he was doing.
I think that sometimes it's really difficult to identify that's what's going on. It's with reflection able to see that. He may have been mentally ill, but I mean, he probably wasn't. It's sadly just a very common experience that young women have. And at the time, you might not have known that Bethany was unable to see her uncle in that regard. He would have, controlled that situation very carefully and in a very hidden way, and only afterwards to be able to reflect and see that was happening. I'm sure it was very gradual, but mental health is not an excuse for controlling behaviour, and is going to be something that women experience very much irrespective of whether the partner is mentally ill or otherwise. There are many women who are just being controlled day to day as a result of that behaviour in a relationship.
Yeah, from people who are just this just sheer badness that drives them, and they have a problem with women, they have a problem with partners, they are selfish, they want to be number one.
It's all about power and control, and very much wanting to be in control and using whatever means to maintain that control. sabotaging Bethany going to university, as an example.
That's sickening. That's really sickening, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And that's very common. We hear that with young people especially an awful lot. You know, going to work, socialising, access to education, those very kind of life, important life stage moments that young people experience. And Bethany is here bravely speaking about hers, for which we are very, very grateful.
And finally, Bethany, are you confident enough to enter into a new relationship, to meet new boyfriends, to meet decent guys? You know, we're not all like that bloke.
I've been in a happy relationship for 2 years now. I pretty much got with him straight away, actually. I was quite surprised by how he's... Well, it wasn't easy to trust again, but he's a very patient man.
Brilliant. That is lovely. That is a lovely ending to a harrowing story. Lisa and Bethany, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, good morning to you. Are you affected? Refuge is there for you. Other charities, of course, as well. But don't suffer in silence. Let me speak to Eamon, who's in this lane. Morning, Eamon.
Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
Very well, Eamon.
Frank, what I want to sort of say, I've listened to your radio show as I normally do, and I was listening to, I think it was Lisa from Refuge there, and first of all, I don't condone any control in relationships or any domestic violence whatsoever, but what I would say is that we talk about equality and it's International Women's Day, this Wednesday. Often equality is very one-sided, you know, even when we talk about women in boardrooms and women in pay, it's always saying you're trying to get 50-50. I don't believe that equality is actually 50-50. I think it should be the best person for the job, regardless of age, gender, ability, whatever it might be, and mostly nothing to do with their sex. But we live in a system whereby our courts are failing us, where men are always seen as a predator. Women in themselves, you know, yes, there is a lot of women who do suffer domestic violence, as there is men, but there is women who rely on that as a crutch whenever they go to court to try and keep dads away from their children and things like that. It's not to say that the women who are being controlled deserve that, but what it is to say is that women who are abusing the system are letting other women down. And I think that I went onto the Refuge website there now, and it seems to be just for women. There doesn't seem to be a lot of services for men out there for support and around about equality and things like that.
There is no doubt there are evil, twisted, wicked women. No one's denying that.
Of course.
That those human beings exist and they're an insult to humanity. But the stats do show that more women suffer at the hands of men than men suffer at the hands of women. And do we need a specific charity for men who are abused? I know there are charities who do look after the needs of abused men or controlled men, but Do we need an awareness campaign solely for men, the way we have one that is obviously aimed at women? I simply don't know.
I'm not too sure. I know over in England, and probably down the south of Ireland now, it's getting a wee bit more the Fathers for Justice. Now, I sometimes think some of their stuff is a wee bit radical. I wouldn't be fully supportive of what their approach is. But at the same time, you know, I think there needs to be a wee bit of leeway at times where meet these people or these groups that are sort of on either side of the spectrum. Do you need to come into the centre a bit and realise that gender equality is impacted upon both sexes, and it's never just one-sided, and that's across the board. You know, I know it's probably in the political week that we had last week. I mean, even Arlene Foster, in my belief, tried to, you know, go the monogamy rule for a wedding. That's a girl who, a lady or woman, who I don't think could ever be bullied in a way. She's got to where she is today by being a strong and charismatic woman. And, you know, it always seems to me that it's a stick to beat men with. And just, you know, again, I don't condone any sort of domestic violence or any controlling situation of anybody at all. But it's just really to raise awareness around that men do suffer as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt men do suffer. And even Lisa, as you say, she doesn't have anything on her website about it. She did acknowledge the fact during the conversation that there are men suffering from domestic violence and also from being controlled. Eamon, it's very relevant. It is very relevant because we have to accept that vindictive and vicious people are formed in both sexes, and there's no denying that.
Frank, I was thinking about listening to what you were saying. You were saying about, you know, the younger you are, it should be easier to walk away, and the older you are, obviously what I believe you were referring to there is whenever you get like a house and family and things together there. But often, you know, we see people, I work in part-time in a contact centre, which I'll not name, but I see dads coming in all the time who want to be good parents, and to see the emotion on children's faces whenever they're being sent there by court systems and court by women-led panels or whatever it might be, it's horrible, you know. We really should be coming to a situation where, especially even in the court system, there's a proper investigation done. Some of these people who I see coming coming in. They're brilliant dads, you know. Maybe they've left the parent for the mother for the reason, or you know, with the broke up and whatever it might be. But women always seem to be the ones who the courts favour in terms of, you know, whenever it gets access to children. At the end of the day, it only is our children who is being affected by it, you know.
And do you find that some of the women are very cruel towards the dads by using the children almost as a weapon?
I feel that there's, you know, there's a lot of... Whenever you see these young children coming in, the dads have seen to me that, you know, now again, whether getting personal to some there who I don't think should have kids at all, but that's, you know, they ignore their children to do that. But there's some dads who come in and you can just see how nervous they are whenever they come in. They see their children for, you know, 2 or 3 hours a week, whatever it might be. To me, they're not only impacting upon, they're continuing on the control that the man suffer whilst in the relationship through the medium of their child. And that should never be the way. You know, hopefully, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 years down the line, whenever maybe common sense does prevail and both parties can move on and do the best for their children. But it's no good for any child to be in a contact centre at all. And the sooner that people can move away from that, especially, I mean, if there's no sense of domestic violence actually being impacted upon the child, there's no harm to the child. I just see parent dads who are coming in here trying their best, smiling, playing with their kids, give their kids 100% of their attention while they're there. And every time the child goes away back to their mum, the dads are almost, you know, men being men, we teach our children from a young age to, or if a girl falls down, it's a case of, you know, get up and brush, or if a girl falls down, it's a case of, you're okay, you know, where's your cut, give me a kiss, it better. Once a boy falls down, it's a case of get up and brush yourself off, come on, boys, don't cry. And that's a mentality we build in our children. So whenever I'm about to leave work and I see these fat dads in the contact centre, they're just holding back so much raw emotion. And, you know, you said about the stats in domestic violence, the stats also in suicide, and men are 75% of suicides are actually related to men. And whenever you have single parents, it's around about 40% of those who are male who lead to suicide after splitting a relationship. So stats are very, very good. They're very informative, but I mean, they never ever print the full picture.
Okay, Eamon, thank you very much indeed. Hard to argue with a lot of what Eamon is saying there. There's heartache on all sides, and we have to accept that there's also abuse on both sides, and if you look at all forms of relationships, there's abuse everywhere, examples of it, but there's no getting away from the fact, and it is a statistic, that more women suffer at the hands of an abusing male than males suffer at the hands of an abusing woman. This is the Frank Mitchell Phone.